Matthew 13, 1 to 9, the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came along and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, and because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times that which was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." Amen.
Thanks. Okay, so without further ado, I'll hand over to Hugh. Yeah, it does rhyme. My second favourite preacher.
Who's your... Good. Hello, everybody. Well, it's an amazing sight. It's amazing. It's just amazing. How come you're not down Cleethorpes Beach? Yeah, it's just an amazing sight. It's really good. So I'm not on my own up here this morning, or Liz and I on our own. Anyway, that's great. Just would love to introduce a new little series that we're looking at, and it's entitled Overcomers. And so I would like to give a definition. There are actually two definitions for this, or two and a half. See what I mean in a bit, but two definitions, really. And the first definition is this. Well, it's that. It's come up on the screen. Now, that definition, it's for an overcomer. That's come up quite slightly too soon, but keep it there. It's fine. No, it's absolutely fine. I was going to say that this is a definition for a Christian. It's another term. You know, you'd call a Christian like a believer, someone who follows Christ, a disciple of Christ. Well, as much as any of those are definitions or descriptions of what a Christian is, so is being an overcomer. So really, in a sense, you could say if you're not an overcomer, you're not a Christian, in that sense, logically. Now, we're invited, we're even expected to be overcomers, but it's not necessarily assumed upon us, okay? But we're expected to be. So here's this definition, and this is me looking at the New Testament, and seeing how the Bible talks about an overcomer. And this is what it says. So someone who stays loyal to God or faithful to God, who continue wholeheartedly to do his will till the day they die, no matter what happens. That's an overcomer. Now, can I just say straight away that is not a perfect person at all, meaning that. Do you know, I'm 40 in November. Look like it, don't I? Actually, it's my spiritual birth. Because in November 1978, I was born again. The Holy Spirit came into my life and Jesus started living on the inside of me. But I didn't become perfect. I mean, you only need to ask my wife all about that. And one example of that is just this week. I mean, so 40 years being a Christian, I ought to know what's right and wrong. So I was somewhere working, and revision cards had been made for revising a certain subject. There were bits, scraps of card at the end. I thought, do you know what? They'd be quite useful for me. They would. They're just going in the recycling bin. I'll have a couple of them. And just didn't think anything of it, you know. Just thought, you know, in the Old Testament, they say, leave for the poor and the destitute, leave the scraps of the uh, of the vines and let the poor beggars come along and take them up. So I thought, you know, it's just a bit like that, really. Anyway, and then I get home and I think, and I start being troubled. And it's like nicking logs that aren't mine or something like that. It's the same thing. And it's, I didn't get permission for that. So those bits of card are going, they're on the way back. And I thought, oh, I just felt convicted. I can't just do that. So can I just say that we don't get perfect straight away? And I had another revelation, and that is, you know, we're all dying, aren't we? All our bodies are sort of dying, but we've got eternal life as a Christian. And do you know what's dying? It's our old nature is terminal. And that's a good thing, actually. So it's good that one day we'll eventually, our bodies will die. We'll get them back again, resurrected in a new form. But all that corruption, all that deception, all that stuff that's not of God, that's not holy, is on its way out. Anyway, so I'm just saying, I just want to be level with you and say, I am not perfect. But what I do have, I have the living God inside me, who when I do things, whether I realize what I'm doing or only realize afterwards, he brings conviction of what's right and wrong. And that's because God lives in there. And a Christian, an overcomer, is not necessarily someone who never makes any mistakes, never sins. But an overcomer is someone who has God within them, who, when they're challenged, amend and get back on track and stay wholeheartedly seeking on a day-to-day, hour-to-hour basis to do God's will, to please him, till the day I die, no matter what happens. That's an overcomer. But not everybody does, though, do they? The reality is, and Jesus gave that parable of the parable of the sower, the seed is like God's message to people, the gospel, the good news, sowing it in a field, hopefully for a crop. But some falls on stony ground or pathway, and the seed can't get into the ground. And Jesus goes on to say in that passage, it's like the devil who comes along and takes that message, that good news away, straight away from people that can't receive it. And you probably found that. Somebody, you tell somebody about the good news of Jesus, and maybe there's a glint in their eye, and then you think, oh, I'll follow this on with them, and the next day they've turned away from it completely. It's not gone anywhere. And then there are other people who it's like it's sown in the soil, but right underneath is bedrock. And the roots start to grow, but it hits a hard place. And the plant dries up, withers and dies. And again, you may have noticed people who receive the message, but then where are they after a month or a year even? And things like trouble, hardship, setback, disappointment, which are all in our lives, as KJ was saying about, they come along and block the growth. And it dies, the faith dies. And then another one where it's sown in the soil, but thorns, weeds, strangle the good crop, the good seed. And that's like God not being at the center of your life anymore, not the number one priority in your life. Other desires take precedence over our devotion to the Lord. And I suppose the challenge here is, you know, as you look at, and I look at that description, where am I in that? Where are you in that? I suppose we can only really answer that after a period of time, because it takes time for the seed to fall and to grow or get smothered or whatever. Period of time. I love Job for this. It's one of Liz's most hated books in the Bible, if I dare say that. But for me, I love it. I love Job. And here's this story, this guy who has everything, but then bit by bit, his life gets dismantled. He loses sons and daughters. They die. His crops are ruined. he loses all his cattle, his livelihood, his house gets partly demolished. To add injury to insult, he's full of disease and he's sat down in a pile of dust, scraping the boils off his arms with a piece of broken pottery. That's it. His wife says, Job, curse God and die, for goodness sake. And he says, I'm not going to do that. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to keep trusting him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So it's someone who stays loyal to God, continuing wholeheartedly to do his will till the day they die, no matter what happens. Second definition is this, if I could. Please could we put the second definition up. This is kind of extending this meaning. It's someone who's able to bring solutions to life's difficulties and problems. First of all, in my own life, and then secondly, in the lives of other people. And this has been, so one of my favourite passages in the Bible is Psalm 34, where the psalmist says, a righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. And I've been through troubles, and they've not gone away quick. They've lingered quite a long time. But I can say, having been a Christian now, nearly 40 years, that in each of those situations, eventually, a solution has come. And sometimes it's not come in the way that I thought it would. Could you bring the next slide up, please? If you could. Now, this is a lady who has impressed me. When I first became a Christian, she was just a young girl, but now she's still alive, and she's a prolific artist and authoress. You can look her up on the internet. This young lady did something which I could well have easily have done, and if I'm not careful, could do. And that is, there was a river, and she dived into it, or dove. I hate that word, dove. That's not English. Dived into the river, and misjudged the depth and hit her head and broke her neck, and she became paralyzed from the neck down, quadriplegic, I think the term is. And so she's in this wheelchair, and she learned how to paint. You can see that picture there on the right, with her mouth. She, for some considerable time, wrestled with severe depression in her life, because she was saying she hit a hard place. You know, she sort of, you know, well, why would God, a good God, allow a bad thing to happen to me? And you know what? You could be here today, and in our church, and rightly so, there's a lot of talk about God's love and goodness and his abundance. In fact, we did a series on God's abundance, his rich blessing upon our lives. But what when you're still struggling for a bit? And I want to say that there's a much of a miracle being able to deal with some of the conflicts, difficulties and problems in your life as if you completely healed and raised and you can move your arms and legs. And this woman, Joni, she struggled and she became, to me, a wonderful overcomer, because in the midst of her utter disappointment and distress, the grace of God came into her life. She didn't get healed, but on the inside, she was a victorious woman and has probably had more influence in her life now and around the world and her story, her testimony, than if she'd been fully well. Now, nobody wants her not to be fully well. And I bet she'd probably been praying for healing all her life. I don't know. But what a story. What an overcoming woman. She is faithful to God, continuing wholeheartedly to do his will. It's in a way that she would have never imagined. But she's continuing to do that till the day she dies. And she's getting on a bit now, no matter what happens. What a wonderful thing. Where do you need the grace of God in your life? Could it be you're looking for it in the wrong place? Could it be that God has got a miracle for you but you've been looking for it in the wrong place. I don't know. I'm just suggesting. Another story that I love is of a guy called Billy McCurry. Billy, you see, he was a loyalist terrorist in Northern Ireland, and he'd had the sad thing happen. His dad had been shot dead by the IRA when he was just a young lad, and he made it his life aim to get revenge. And he was recruited, I think, by one of the loyalist terrorist groups and became an assassin. And he went up with someone else and murdered someone. And then he got put in the Maze prison. But in there he got converted. Someone witnessed to him. A couple of people witnessed to him. And he eventually came to the point when Jesus came into his life. He was born anew. And his he said that God took away from him his desire for revenge and his hatred and his bitterness. And it just went like that. To me, that's a miracle. That's one of the miracles that God does when he comes in on the inside. And he made this statement. He said, do you know what? I became a Christian, and although I was incarcerated, I was locked up inside the Maze prison. He said, I'm freer now on the inside than I ever was when I was a free man. He had grace to overcome in the midst of the turmoil. And so what's your turmoil? What's the thing that, I mean, and we can get really jealous. I can. Well, they're better off than me. They've got more money than me. They've got this. They've got that. And we can add further agony to our own suffering. But you know, God is not someone who shows favoritism, and he deals with each of us in an individual way. And you and I are not clever enough to see how God makes that fair. It looks unfair. But God, I've found, is righteous, totally just. He does not deal with differing weights. He's not crooked at all. He's as straight as a die. And so you can trust him. Even though it looks unfair, even though you might want revenge, even though, why has this happened to me? Why has that not gone right? Why have they got that? I've not. And in that way, we tie ourselves up in all kinds of bundles, and it's not helpful. So I believe God wants to free you this morning from any of that. That you can find a miracle where you're at. And it may be the miracle that you're anticipating. It may be dramatic, supernatural healing. And I pray that's the case with Howard. But it might be in a different area, that it may be an extreme sense of God's presence and peace that just enables you to be triumphant, to reign in life where you're in that trouble. Next slide, if we may, please. So look, you think being an overcomer, you've got to be really strong, macho, slightly out there, you know, slightly mad as well, really. But in actual fact, it's not the case. Next slide, if I may, please, Alex. Better off if you like that, struggling. Paul, when he was afflicted, said, well, God said to Paul he was struggling with something. He couldn't get over it. Couldn't get over it. And he was encouraged because God spoke to him and he said, Paul, my grace is made perfect through your weakness, not your strength. So if you're saying, you know, and also I lack strength, I'm so weak, well, so am I. In fact, this is one reason why men are put off the gospel, because they don't see it as macho. And it needs a revelation from God. So keep praying for the men, because they feel, oh, it's not macho enough for me. I'll look a freak if I go in there. You know, it's just not true, but it's a deception. But there we are. Next slide, if I may. This is what a famous, we've got missionaries with us, Tim and Linda, famous missionary, Hudson Taylor, Tim, to China. God uses men, he said, who are weak and feeble enough to lean on him. Will you lean on him? Or are you tempted to throw it all off? What's the next one? Can't remember. the key to overcoming. Someone else's strength inside of you. That's how we become overcomers, you know. It's not by being macho or strong. Next one. Thank you. This is what Jesus said. The first reference to overcoming is in John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 33. He says this, "Take heart, for I have overcome the world." So he's done it. Now guess where he lives if you're a Christian? Inside you. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. So all your problems, all your struggles, well, he's in you as well as those struggles, and he beats them all. So you can have a peace, you can have answers to your problems, you can have solutions to your difficulties, and many of them will find a solution. Now, I was trapped in a school for 5 years, and it was like being in prison, and I couldn't get out of it. God gave me the grace eventually to get out of it. But while I was there, he sustained me. But I stayed loyal to him. I didn't throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know. Greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. And everyone born of God overcomes the world. And so you have got, if you've got God inside, you've got everything you need to be an overcomer, especially if you realize you're weak. So anybody who thinks they've got it all tied down, don't make mistakes, don't really apply to you. It's for the weak. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. So I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. In fact, could the worship team come back up? That would be lovely. And we'll just play something. But can I just say something else? Said there's a kind of 2B. A third definition, and that is an overcomer also is someone who stays loyal, faithful to God, wholeheartedly seeking to serve him till the day they die, no matter what happens. But the second is, what was it? Thank you. Able to find solutions to your problems in your life. But the second, the third then, or 2B, is able to find answers to other people's problems. And this has come alive to me lately. I was at the Swanwick Leaders Conference, and a woman there, most impressive couple, she worked, Linda, with, what's her name? Baroness Stroud, right? And she goes to the House of Lords, doesn't she? Couldn't record the meeting because of that connection. And she worked like Linda did and Tim with drug addicts. But now she works in London with an organisation. And do you know what their aim is? To lift people out of poverty in this nation, a strategy for the nation. What a fantastic thing. I was so inspired by this. See, I've always seen the spiritual side of things. I never really saw David Robinson's side of things, which is the Good Samaritan, which is the most famous parable of Jesus. That he wants to rescue us so that we can rescue others. He wants to set you free so that you can go and set others free and bring care to people. Give people money to so they can live in a house. He wants to save families who are going to have the kids adopted by social services, which are already breaking at the seams. He wants us to help, you know, just things like that. He wants us to pray for our area and our nation, like we're doing through this Your Kingdom Come initiative. But this lady said, "Have you a spirit-given heart for this nation?" And it struck me, and I thought, you know what, I think I have. Ooh, this is very unselfish, Hugh. It's unlike you. A spirit-given heart for the nation. We want to bless Grimsby and the area. We want to work with people to help them overcome their problems. God helps us overcome ours. This poor man called, the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his troubles. So I'm going to pray. So Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the richness of the inheritance that we have in you. Lord, I just want to thank you that you put your spirit within us and you've given to me, even though I'm not faultless, you've given to me a desire to stick with you no matter what, to do your will no matter what happens to me. Lord, thank you for that. And I pray for each one of us that you'd encourage us to indeed do that, stay loyal to you, trusting in you. Because you're the answer. You're the answer, Lord. And I just pray for anyone here today who is struggling and got all kinds of questions and anxieties going through your mind today. I just pray for them, Lord, right now. I just ask you for your grace to help them in this time of need in their life. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear, though the earth gives way.